This is the joy for any pastor after 2 months to see people in God's house again. Welcome to Hebron in the Savior's name. We're here to worship the Lord at the reopening of our services on the Lord's Day. I just remind you of the safety regulations. I'll not go through all the details. We've done this for 3 meetings now, but there is the risk assessment and how to enter the building, the wearing of the masks, and the sanitization, and all these things, just to let you see them there afresh. If you haven't seen them, if you haven't heard them, please read them, take them in. It's for your safety in these days. So we'll hasten to the opening hymn, number 28. Jesus, our risen Lord, be with us here today. Thy Spirit's gracious aid afford, and hear us while we pray. Just keep your seats. Let's hear God's word as we find it in Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Thou puttest my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of this psalm to all of our hearts. I'm going to bow together in prayer. I have one or two things to say just before we pray. I've just sent a correspondence from the Government and Morals Committee to the WhatsApp group. That's the announcement group. So it's not on the announcements here, but we did get this correspondence yesterday. And tomorrow, on the 8th of March, MPs at Westminster will debate banning conversion therapy. Now, there's a lot of things that are wrong with what's going on with that, but there are things that should be said. And really, the idea in part behind it is that it may lead to the banning of legitimate preaching, the preaching of the gospel and calling people to repentance. And so therefore, if you want to email your MP, you need to do that today, because this debate is tomorrow. It's quite short notice, but get your spoke in. Also, I want to say that today is the 7th of March, and I got a wee text sent to me to remind me that this date, the 7th of March, is actually the 100th anniversary of the last great revival that took place in England. It was the revival that started in the town of Lowestoft on the east of England in 1921. And Jock Troop was very much instrumental in that revival. And the fishermen spread it as they went up, followed the herring shoals. They followed up the coast of England on and into Scotland. It has been called the Forgotten Revival, the 1921, but it was a mighty move of God. Thousands and thousands of people were converted to Christ in that time. So we certainly, 100 years later, should be praying that England will know revival again and that we will know revival in our hearts also. So let's pray together, seek the Lord. Our God, we thank thee for the return of thy day and for the opportunity to be physically present again in the house of God. We thank thee for the congregation who have made it. We thank thee too for others that are tuning in over the internet and being part of what is happening here at our worship service. We thank thee that we can come as ever through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our only plea. He is our only acceptance. And we come before thee to worship thee, to extol thy great name, to make much of our God and his Son Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of our souls. We come to fellowship one with another, and we thank thee for that bond that there is between those of like precious faith. And when we come to the house of God like this, there is a wonderful unity in our hearts, being the Lord's people, united to Christ in his body. And we pray that we'll know something of that in this return. We bless thee that the church is open for public worship again, and we pray that this will continue with all that's happening in the country now, really a year later with this virus. Lord, we're asking thee to create the circumstances where we can continue to be in God's house for the worship of God. We pray for our returning to all aspects of church life here as soon as it is possible. We pray that you will direct our way, that you will give us wisdom in these things and guide our presbytery as well. We remember those that are in need. We always have the sick upon our minds and hearts, and we've been praying already about them at the early time of prayer. And we want to commend them to your grace, those here connected to the local congregation, as well as in the wider church family, the ministers that are laid aside at this time and sick. Lord, we commit them to thee, and we pray that thou wilt be with them, that thou wilt make their bed in sickness, that thou wilt be pleased to raise them up to health and strength again. We pray that you will bless each family that is represented in God's house today. And Lord, we're here primarily to meet with the God of glory. We're here to meet with each other. That is secondary, though very important. But we're here to meet with God, and therefore we pray for that conscious sense of the presence of the Lord in every aspect of this meeting today. In our worship, as we sing, as we read your word, as we have our time of study in the scriptures of truth, Lord, abide with us. That's our desire. We've longed for this day. It has come. The longing, we trust, is after God himself, to meet with the God of glory, so therefore come down. We were thinking on Thursday night how the Lord, in the wonder of his presence, is there in the center, in the midst of a gathering that comes together in his name. And Lord, this is another time. And we want the Lord to be there with your people today in this church, blessing all that we do as we seek to give thee worship. Bless our sisters as they play the musical instruments today. Bless us, Lord, as we sing. And may your name be glorified and magnified. We do think, Lord, of the wickedness that is abounding in our nation. We think of what this debate is about tomorrow in the Mother of Parliaments. And Lord, we pray that there will be a voice for the Lord. There will be those who will be able to stand up and speak out and say what's right as far as your word is concerned and your laws and your commandments. We pray that you will send revival to the nation. Lord, we think of that 1921 revival in Lowestoft. Lord, we ministered there for nearly 4 years, and we thought much of when God came down in those days and how that revival swept up the East Coast. Is it not our cry, do it again? Do it again for England that has drifted so far from thee. Do it, Lord, for Scotland and Wales, the Isle of Man, here in Northern Ireland, down into the south of Ireland. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down and make yourself known in the wonder of your presence and draw many unto God in these days and bring a reign of righteousness right across the nation. Bless our missionary endeavor too. We thank thee for the work of the gospel in other lands. And may all of our missionaries, especially those that are connected to our own congregation and also our own mission board, know your help this very Sabbath day for Jesus' sake. Amen. We bid you welcome to God's house again in the Savior's name, and to those that are tuning in on the internet. I want to remind you of our family night service at 7 o'clock, and that will also be broadcast. The testimony this evening at family night is to Pankar Nandi from India, so he sent to me yesterday a recording of his testimony. I'll be preaching on God's solemn sermon to the old world. And the season of prayer is on Zoom at 5:30. Remember, the change of time, a wee bit earlier, allowing our committee in session to get to the church in good time. And others too. Tomorrow night is the Sabbath School Teachers Prayer Meeting at 8 o'clock. That will be on Zoom. Tuesday night is the Youth Challenge at 7, and that's on Facebook. And we are encouraging you to make sure the children get to hear about this and are encouraged to listen in. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 p.m. And Friday night, the youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. And David McCauley is the special speaker going through the minor prophets. He will address the book of Haggai. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock on Zoom. Glad to have this opportunity and so many joining us in these days and great times of prayer. The Sunday school on Facebook at 10:30, the Bible class at 10:30 on Zoom. Fellows dealing with the providence of God in the life of Joseph. And next Lord's Day, he comes to proving the Lord in Potiphar's palace. Worship service, 12 noon. Gospel meeting at 7 with the season of prayer beforehand. Again, we thank you for your tithes and offerings. You've sent them in during lockdown. That's much appreciated. The baskets are at the door. There's no public offering in these days. We receive missionary gifts of £2,000, £100, another £100, £40, and £50. And these are mainly for the lands of Brazil, the Philippines, and Romania. Very special congratulations to Greg and Rebecca on the birth of their baby boy, Gideon Mark Taylor. And we do rejoice with the family and with the grandparents, of course, as well. It's always a happy time when a child is brought in to a family, and not least the church family. If you're seeking for communicant membership, anyone that is desiring this, please contact me as soon as possible. We're asking you to continue to remember the ministry in this house, right to the missionary work of our denomination and the National Health Service, and also the sick of the congregation. We want you to continue to pray for the situation in Manaus, in Brazil, and the other cities too, but they're still having difficulties here, and the severe flooding has now brought other problems. We think of the dengue fever and other diseases that are breaking out because of the flooding. Please pray for the orphan project in India. We had the new construction of a toilet facility in Pakistan, and that little community are delighted with this to serve that whole community. And we're praying for the work in Tharatara Sewing Center and our sister Freya over in Romania. These children received some training shoes. They were sent out at Christmas time, and some of the things were held back until now. And here's a couple of kids that have benefited in a small way, but they're absolutely delighted. And we are remembering the work, the ongoing work of Deborah House. We mentioned to you on Thursday night about the container project. There was a wee family just on Monday past, and their house went on fire. It was completely burned. They lost everything. And so the container was taken to the village of Rekash, and it's going to be a temporary home for this family. A construction company contacted by the county hall has offered to rebuild their home. So that's going to take a wee while, but the container is going to be their home for the foreseeable future. This is one of the little girls of a family of five belonging to that family. This is the container being moved. It was there at Deborah House and now being transported, or has been transported, to Rekash. And I think that's Vio, Biorel, on the top of it, just getting it secured and ready for moving. We have some greetings from the Reverend Ebenezer Nombre in the Philippines. He's doing our Bible College, Mission Board course. He is a pastor of 30 years and is doing a great work for God there. A man that is reformed in theology and evangelistic in his outreach. And some of the emergency funding was sent out, and this is the people of his church receiving some food parcels just to help them in these very difficult days of the virus. And also they've had their own issues with the typhoon and the flooding. So they just want to thank you in the Lord's name. We've mentioned to you about the examinations this month in Emmanuel Christian School, and the children of the school, those that are doing the exams in P7 and then Standard 4, they had special activities recently. And these are just a few of the slides that we received yesterday from our sister Noreen. They had a day out that brought them to a centre to study a little bit as well. And they also had a visit to the local zoo. When I saw this picture, I thought, that's a real donkey, but I don't think it is, because when I saw that, I knew it wasn't real giraffes. So I think these were just in the place to get your photograph taken. There's another project that is happening there at Emmanuel, and that is an agricultural project, and that is for the poorest families of the district belonging to the church and the school there. And I think at this moment in time there are 10 families involved, and they're giving some ground for them to plant crops so that they can grow them for their own use, and that really is a lifeline to them. So just a few slides on that. Break Thou the Bread of Life is our next hymn that we want to sing, 182 in the hymn book. Break Thou the Bread of Life, dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst break the bread beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page I seek Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. I'm going to read the scriptures now, and I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet just to change your position. Very conscious that you come and you're sitting for an hour, it can be difficult, but if you desire to stand, you can stand for the reading. We're just reading 6 verses here at the end of Mark chapter 2 as we come again to our studies in this gospel. Mark chapter 2 and verse 23. Let's just stand for the reading of the Word of God. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was anhungered? He and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Taking the lead there, Rebecca. That's good. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Our gracious God, we thank thee for your precious word. We thank thee that it brings light and understanding in a dark world. And we pray that you will shine your light into our hearts now and help us, Lord, to think about what we've read here and understand the mighty application for this day in which we live. We pray for the congregation that a hearing ear will be granted, an understanding heart too. We pray for the infilling of the power of God for this preacher and the hearer alike. Spirit of God, come down and be our instructor just now. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our hearts that we might understand. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak, and I think very appropriately, on the blessing of the Sabbath day. And I want to take verse 27 as a text, a launching board to bring us into the subject where Jesus said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. COVID-19 and all that has developed in these days has had a mighty effect upon the world. In lockdown days especially, the virus has had a massive impact upon schools, universities, businesses, the health service, the economy, travel, social interaction, community projects, and family life. And not least, as far as we are concerned, the ministry of the church. Church life has been hugely affected in certain areas in a most negative way. Now, I hasten to say that there are positives, or there have been positives. The place of prayer, we've been so encouraged by the times of prayer that we've had in these days. Helping our neighbor, I know that many of you have been involved in this. Getting people involved in internet ministry, and that has been so for many in church life. Reaching out into other countries, we've done that. We think of the emergency aid funding of our mission board. And we have seen the kinder side of Christianity rising to the surface in all the help that has been given locally and abroad. Hebron has sought to maintain the cause of Christ and the gospel as best as we can under what has been very testing circumstances. When we were able to meet with the various rules and regulations during the past year, we sought to maintain the cause of Christ in this house. In lockdown times, we broadcast over the internet, keeping our services as normal, as looking as possible. We have been keeping our work in the Sunday school and the Bible class operational. Our young people have met on Friday evenings. Youth Challenge has gone out on a Tuesday night. The session and the committee have had their meetings over the internet, and the midweek service has been maintained likewise. However, despite the positive endeavor made to keep the church life as normal as possible in abnormal days, there has been a downside in the work of Christ. We have not been meeting physically, and we've certainly missed that in the recent lockdown of 2 months. We have missed so much of the gathering of the congregations and all aspects of church life here. Many outreach children, very sadly, have not tuned in during this period. Even though they've been contacted and parents have been encouraged, we know that many of them have not. Our gospel mission did not take place in the autumn time. Many unsaved have not had the influence of the gospel the way that they did under the normal circumstances. And as a pastor, I have not been able to visit in the hospital. And that has just broken my heart. Home visits have been greatly restricted. And there are mental health issues developing too. Sadly, there will be those who have failed to maintain a proper fellowship with the Lord and with the church. And some of them, very sadly today, are backslidden. And they're away from the Lord. They have drifted along without any real depth of spirituality. You see, it's so easy to get into a backslidden state, even in the best of times, when everything is normal, when church life is going on as you would expect, in the best of days, even in revival days, it's so easy for a Christian to get into a state of backsliding. Like God's ancient people, we are bent on backsliding, as Hosea 11 and verse 7 tells us. And I'm not necessarily speaking here about outright backsliding, getting away into the world and far away from God. No, I'm talking about a condition that is so spiritually destroying and dishonoring to God, and that is backsliding in heart. Solomon in Proverbs 14 and verse 14 said, "The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways, and it brings great displeasure to Almighty God, who at the costly price of the blood of his own Son purchased eternal redemption for his people." Paul said in Hebrews 10 and 38, "If any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." This is what the Lord is saying. If any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. It's not a massive step, you know, to leave your first love. The prosperous, thriving church at Ephesus committed this grievous sin. You know, the Lord addressed it when he wrote to them in Revelation chapter 2. Though they had many excellent qualities as professing Christians, labor for Christ, patience in the work of God, perseverance, and even a hatred of sin, Jesus said, you remember these words, words of great indictment, "I have somewhat against thee, where thou hast left thy first love." Very possible for Christians today to backslide this way and to leave their first love, especially in lockdown weeks and months, when our love for the Lord, his ways, his throne, his work, his people, his day, and especially his house is far from what it ought to be. And you will know, and anyone listening in to this message will know, when that takes place. I will not have to tell you. If you're honest with your own heart, you'll know that that has happened. I want to, therefore, think about the Sabbath day, especially in this message, because Mark brings us to an incident in the ministry of Christ here at the end of chapter 2. How do you treat the Sabbath day? It's a question I want you to keep in mind throughout this message. What has your Sabbath been like during the past year when we've been affected by coronavirus? A vital part of the Sabbath for the believing soul is worship, attendance at the house of the Lord. And we have maintained that as best as we could over the internet on the Sabbath, in order to be as faithful to God and as faithful to our people as possible. And now we are returning, as safely as we can make it, to our physical attendance here on the Lord's Day. The Sabbath day is God's day. It has been so from the beginning of creation. It has been said, when a nation turns away from the two divine institutions that were ordained by God at the beginning, we're thinking of marriage and the Sabbath day, that nation has greatly departed from God, and it will not be long before every other law and commandment of God is trampled upon and despised. And I think we can say the same for the individual. When the individual turns away from these institutions that God set up in those creation days, that Christian is heading for trouble. When the laws of the marriage are broken, and when the laws of the Sabbath day are broken. We learn from Christ that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's a Sabbath day. And the Lord Jesus and his disciples were walking through the cornfields. As they did so, they plucked off the ears of corn and did eat them, for they were hungry. The old fault-finding Pharisees were not far away to raise their cold and critical objections. Why do they on the Sabbath day that which was not lawful? Of course, this was a man-made rule by the Pharisees. It was not the law of God. Jesus reminded them of what David and his men did when they were hungry. They ate the showbread, which was the portion of the priests. Jesus Christ never violated one commandment of God. He kept every law. He fulfilled the law. He obeyed the law. And he certainly did not violate any commandment to do with the Sabbath day. But he did often break those legalistic additions to the law, and that was the case here. Human need was far more important than religious ritual. David and his men had not acted sinfully in eating the showbread, and neither were the disciples of the Lord acting sinfully by picking heads of grain on the Sabbath day. Jesus concludes, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. See, my friends, the Sabbath day was made to help mankind, and especially the people of God, not to burden them. God made the Sabbath day for you, that it might bring blessing to your body and to your soul. And that's why I want to think about the blessing of the Sabbath day as we have it here in Mark's Gospel. I didn't want to overlook these final verses of chapter 2. Now, in what way is the Sabbath a blessing? Well, my friends, first of all, it's a day to withdraw from labor. When the Sabbath was instituted at the beginning, we are informed that God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And this he did by way of example to Adam, and of course to all Adam's posterity, which includes us. God didn't need to rest in the sense that he got tired or weary, but he gave this example at the beginning of time by resting on the seventh day, coming apart from the work that he had made in the other 6 days. And he gave that for mankind, for their benefit. The fourth commandment, as we have it recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20, reads as follows, and you'll know this. Remember the Sabbath day. It's Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Withdrawing from our physical labors is of great benefit to the soul and to the body. The Israelites were commanded to take a full day of rest every week under the Mosaic law. This was in contrast with the grueling daily work as slaves when they were in Egypt. And my friends, this is good practice for you and I too, in a physical sense. God knows how our bodies need rest so that they might be rejuvenated, and revitalized and refreshed. The story is told of two teams who were responsible for the building of a railway line. This was many years ago, and I think the setting was over in the United States. And this railway line was to run from A to B, from one city to another. So one team started there, and the other team started at the other city, and they began to build the railway line towards each other. One of the teams, maybe they had a Christian influence there, I don't know, but they took a day of rest. They rested on the Sabbath day. They worked 6 days, but they had a seventh of rest. The other team, whoever the directors were, made the workforce work 7 days a week, and they slogged them on. You see, there was a prize for who would make the greatest headway. And you probably know what I'm going to say. That team that worked 6 days and rested the seventh were able to make the best headway. Because resting on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, is good, a good practice for the body of mankind. Pharisaical law had gradually changed the Sabbath into a burden, adding restrictions that were way beyond God's law. The act of picking a few heads of grain and munching upon them as they walked through the field could not be considered as harvesting, as the Pharisees were trying to categorize it. The disciples had not broken the law of God. They had only violated the Pharisees' strict interpretation of what they believed the law taught. God worked for 6 days in creation. He rested the seventh. And thus, my friends, he's given us the precept and the example concerning what we are to do. Of course, essential services continue on the Sabbath day. Our medical workers, our police service, our fire brigade, farmers and essential laborers, engineers that keep electrical power stations continuing for so many things that are necessary. The general rule is a withdrawal from non-essential work, from secular employments, including those leisure and sporting activities that can be done on the other 6 days. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and he's made the Sabbath day for man. And one of the reasons is to withdraw from labor that we might rest. Another blessing is it's a day to work through love. Our doctors and nurses are doing an essential work, and I know that they have to work on the Lord's day, and it's a labor of love. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus heals the man with the withered hand, and he taught that it was lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees hated him for this. They hated him so much that they plotted to kill him. Matthew, recording the same event in Matthew chapter 12, tells us how the Lord gave an illustration. Matthew 12 and verse 11, Jesus said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. The Sabbath was not intended to be a burden to the people, but it was to ease their burden. For someone to forbid acts of mercy and goodness on God's day of rest is contrary to all that God is teaching in his word. Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, he did what was right, and he healed a man, as we see in chapter 3 of Mark, on the Sabbath day. And there may be people that need legitimate help and encouragement on the Sabbath. There may be those who need a meal on the Sabbath day that you're providing them with. Or they need a visit to encourage them. Or they need some kind of hospital treatment. Or they need rescued from some danger that they're in. Animals need to be fed. Cows need to be milked. And sheep need to be lambed at this time of the year. You'll start to see the lambs in the field. Of course, one of the great activities on the Sabbath day and one practiced by Christ was the teaching of the Word of God, and naturally public worship, the assembly of the saints. And so I want to come to my third point. It's a day to worship the Lord. This is for your benefit. This is part of the blessing of the Sabbath day. There is no greater Sabbath blessing than to be in God's house under the sound and the ministry of God's word. And this is the mind of God for his people. We know that to be so. I believe that all men should be in the house of God on the Lord's day. Everybody that lives around this town, every single person, to honor their Creator, who at the beginning of creation gave the Sabbath day. I believe that all mankind should be, but that sadly is not the case. Many unconverted have no thought of going to church on the Lord's day, but especially we're thinking of the Lord's people, you and I. You cannot read the Bible, the Old Testament or the New Testament, without seeing that the people of God came together to worship, especially on the Lord's day and at prayer meeting times. It is often a place where you will find the Lord and be saved. This is a great encouragement for the unconverted who do come on the Sabbath day, who do show an interest in sitting in church on the Sabbath day. And I think of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. She went to the place of prayer, the riverside that day, the place where prayer was wont to be made. As yet, though religiously inclined, she did not know the Lord, but she went to a place of worship on the Sabbath day. And that was the day when she heard Paul preach the gospel and her heart was open and she got converted. Oh, what a blessing it is when the unconverted come to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day and they meet with the Lord and they find Christ as their Savior. It is often a place where Jesus draws especially near to his own people. You think of that account that is given to us in the days of the resurrection in the Gospel of John and the chapter 20 and verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, there they are, on the first day of the week, assembled. They are together, where they're assembled together. They've come apart, in this case, privately, because of fear. They fear the Jews. What happens? Then came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. You can't miss saying that there's some kind of application here for God's people when we come together for the worship of God. Where the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he stands in the midst of the congregation and to bring blessing and encouragement and a word that is seasonable, in this case, in the midst of their fear, peace be unto you. So it's often a place where you find the Lord and be saved. It's often a place where Jesus draws especially near to his people. Remember Jesus, thinking about this last Thursday night, said to his disciples, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We think of John on the island of Patmos. He wasn't able, because of his banishment, to be in a gathering like this. He could not assemble with the church or with his fellow disciples. But nonetheless, the Bible tells us that that Sabbath was a blessed time for him because he met with the Lord. And despite his circumstances in exile, his banishment, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Christ came and showed himself in the most marvelous way that Revelation chapter 1 tells us about. So it's often a place where we are blessed. And let me say a few things about church attendance. Church attendance is a requirement. It's a command of God. Think of Hebrews 10 and 13 or 25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day of the Lord approaching? I believe it is. And as we're hastening towards that day, so much the more should we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, the apostle is teaching here in Hebrews 10 and 25. On the Lord's day, we are told in the scripture in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 that the disciples came together. They came together. And they came together on this occasion to break bread and also to hear the preaching, because Paul preached unto them in that chapter. They came together, the assembly of the saints. Attendance is a requirement. Attendance is also an evidence of grace. One of the most basic evidences of grace in a person's life, that a person has a desire, yeah, even a love, and we'll mention that in a moment, to come to the house of God. When we have our convert classes, when we did have our convert classes, one of the foundational texts is that text in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. These converts that are just recently saved, we're told how they went on with God. They continued steadfastly. And you will know from those classes and also from our preaching that the language there means they were strong towards. Here's lives in which the Spirit of God has worked with power, brought them savingly to Christ. Here's now their desires of heart. Here's what they are strong towards. Here is the evidence of grace in their lives. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in prayers, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread. Those four things are mentioned in that text of Scripture. But for our purposes, we're thinking about fellowship. You see, my friends, church attendance is an evidence of grace. You cannot successfully go on with God and be an absentee from the house of God on the Lord's day. Church attendance is a means of grace. You've heard the expression many times. The means of grace really simply refers to those things that God has given to us to help us to go on with Him. A means of growing in grace, a means of developing in the Christian life, becoming strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The reading of the Word, prayer, the Lord's table, all means of grace, and certainly the Sabbath worship of Almighty God, coming together in fellowship. It's a means of grace to strengthen God's people. The focal point of the local church is the preaching of the Word, so that men are instructed in the doctrines of God and established in the faith, and also that sinners are enlightened and brought to Christ, believers, of course, edified. It's the house of God we give emphasis, or the house of prayer, we give emphasis to that on Thursday night. But it's also, don't forget this, the place of preaching, proclamation of divine truth. And then church attendance is an expression of our love to Jesus Christ. He's the bridegroom. Who's the bride? You and I, who are His people. Doesn't the church, the bride of Christ, want to be with the bridegroom, want to meet with Christ? Christ loved us, and He gave Himself for us, the church. And if we love Christ, surely we will love the things that He loved, and Christ loved the house of worship. If there's one thing that we learn about Jesus Christ and the Sabbath day, is His love to be at the house of worship. Can't get away from that. As you read the Bible, you think of the passage that we've read today, the very next verse, chapter 3, and verse 1. He entered again into the synagogue. The Lord went there. Could I also say that church attendance is one of the highest joys and pleasures to the spiritual soul? Meeting with God on His day with His people around His Word. I love the Sabbath day more than any other day. Sometimes people tease me about that. This is your favorite day, but it is so. I love the Sabbath day, and I love a long Sabbath day. I like to get up early, and we usually go to bed late. That probably happens most days, but especially the Sabbath day. It's a day I love. And dear child of God, we ought to love it, because it is one of the highest joys and pleasures to the spiritual soul. And church attendance brings us closer to God and to His people. We need fellowship. The Bible speaks about it. We've mentioned it. We should long to be in the communion of the saints. You will find a sense of fulfillment. And I hope that you're finding that today. You know, the internet is good and has had its purpose, especially in the past little while. Sermon audio and the broadcast on Facebook is all that some people have that can't get physically to the house of God the way that you can. But my friends, nothing can take the place of being together faithfully, consistently, regularly, and meaningfully. The attendance at God's house brings blessing. The psalmist tells us in the Psalm 84 and verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. That dwell. Now, that speaks about being there for a wee period of time, doesn't it? And what is the encouragement? Blessed or happy are they. We read in the Psalm 92 and verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. That speaks of blessing, flourishing. Who are the flourishing Christians? Those that are planted. That speaks about getting your roots down in the house of God, being there, doesn't it? We believe in public worship. We believe that individuals should be there. We believe that families should be there. So don't let any excuse stand in the way of doing what you know to be right before God and what you understand in your heart to be the very mind of God. Have you been longing to get back to God's house? I hope you have. Have you missed worship? Is your heart and your soul been crying out for this place? I'm going to finish by directing your attention to the Psalm 42 and the opening two words. Just one final text. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David expresses the deep longing of his soul here. And the thought is especially relevant to God's house. That's what he's thinking about here, because he's at a distance from God's house, from Jerusalem at this time. If you look down at verse 4, he spoke about going with the multitude and going to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise and with the multitude that kept that holy day. And he's thinking about what he's not able to enjoy, and his heart is thirsting after God. When shall I come again and appear before God? Very powerful imagery is used here of a deer aching with thirst in a time of drought and or deep heat. That deep thirst is the soul thirst of the psalmist, longing for God, longing to appear before God in God's house. Public worship is in mind. What do you know of this, brethren and sisters? Is this your longing? Is this the soul of your being crying out? Are you looking forward to being in the house of God when you're able to come? This is a day to worship the Lord, and God has made the Sabbath for you. And he's made the Sabbath for you for these three reasons that I've set before you. May we have a love for God's day and a love for God's house. May that deepen in us all for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Eternal God and gracious Father, we thank thee that the Sabbath was made for man, for our benefit, to bring blessing. Help us to enjoy our Sabbaths. Help us to enjoy your presence. Help us to come with a thirst in our souls, knowing something of what David expresses here. He uses the illustration of a heart, a young deer, panting in a time of great thirst. Lord, give us that soul thirst to meet with God in his house on the Sabbath day. Bless your people. We're so glad, Lord. We know that probably everybody here is so glad to be back in worship, back in the house of God. It's been good for us to come to the house of the Lord today. May we leave rejoicing in Christ our Redeemer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's conclude with the hymn 621. Having brought this message, to be able to sing, we love the place, O God, wherein thine honor dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels. Again, thank you for worshiping with us today, and you will be asked to leave row by row so that you go out safely. There are magazines available. The vision is there. If you get the current, it's there. We don't want you congregating. Is that the far side coming in? Okay, so sorry about that. You get it coming in, get it tonight. There are also free will envelopes for some who didn't get them, and if you still desire them, they're there. Your name's on it. And they're also in that part of the building. So please remember over the next week or two to pick them up. Thank you.